Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, it's not always bad to be stubborn. Think of Martin Luther when he was on trial before the German Emperor at Worms. He was asked to take back, to recant what he had written. And Luther responded, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. God help me. Amen." Luther was uncompromising in his stubbornness. And sometimes that's good, to be stubborn, to stand up for what is right and good and not to give in. But sometimes stubbornness can be bad, very bad. Take, for example, a person who's suffering from some serious illness for which treatment is possible, but this person absolutely refuses to go to the doctor. He stubbornly resists all the advice he gets. That can be very detrimental to a person's health. And the same is true for us spiritually. If we become spiritually stubborn. This morning, we have a parable in the gospel which Jesus told to the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, a parable about a man who had two sons. And Jesus makes a point of this parable, applies it to these religious leaders. And he warns them, and this is a warning for us as well, beware of spiritual stubbornness. The scripture has a number of examples of this kind of spiritual stubbornness. Think, for example, of Pharaoh. At the time the people of Israel were in Egypt, he stubbornly resisted all the pleas of Moses and Aaron to let the people go. The Pharaoh would not allow that to happen. He was spiritually stubborn. But these same people, the people of Israel, when they got into the wilderness, they worshiped this golden calf. And then what did the Lord say of them? He called them stiff-necked. Stiff-necked is a synonym for being stubborn. They were not really paying attention to the blessings that the Lord had given them. And many years later, the prophet Hosea put it even more bluntly. He said it in so many words, "The Israelites are stubborn like a stubborn heifer." If you'd had some experience on the farm, you've maybe had experience with a stubborn heifer. I've never, but I think you can picture that, and that's the comparison that he makes here. Israel is like a stubborn heifer, spiritual stubbornness. And who can forget those sad words of Jesus that he spoke over Jerusalem? Jerusalem, which had become so stubborn over against him. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." The King James says, "and you would not." That shows stubbornness. Beware. Beware of spiritual stubbornness. Now, one might think, humanly speaking, that the Jewish religious leaders would be some of the first who might have accepted the message of Jesus. For after all, these people like the priests and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were the very ones who led their fellow countrymen in worship. They were the ones who taught the Old Testament scriptures and studied them. And by and large, these religious leaders were good and upright people. But they had one tragic failing. And what was that? Spiritual stubbornness. And that's shown by their reaction to the preaching of John the Baptist. Remember how John was preaching in the wilderness, and his message was this: repent and believe the gospel, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Some of those religious leaders also went out to John, but they would not accept his message. They would not repent. Jesus said of them, John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not repent and believe. There's the failing. They did not repent and believe. They were spiritually stubborn. Jesus tells this story about a man who had two sons to make that same point. The first son is asked by his father to go to work in the vineyard. And that first son replies to his father very gruffly, I will not. But later he changed his mind, didn't he? And he decided it was wrong to disobey his father. He had a change of heart. He repented of what he had said to his father. And he went to work in the vineyard. The very opposite was true of that second son. When the father said to his second son, go and work in the vineyard, he had once said, I go, Father. But he didn't go. He spoke good words, but his actions did not follow his words. And in some respects, these religious leaders were like that. They spoke good words about God. They said the right things. But when it came right down to it, there was one basic failing. They did not repent and believe the gospel. That was their spiritual stubbornness. Now, after Jesus had told this parable, he applied it to two groups of people. First of all, to these religious leaders. But the other group were people whom these leaders despised. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, these big sinners. The religious leaders despised them. And yet, what about them? They were like the first son. Certainly, they had committed sins in their life. People like tax collectors were often thieves. They probably accepted some bribes. They hassled people. They had a very bad reputation. And yet, there are examples of tax collectors who became followers of Jesus. The prime example is the Apostle Matthew, who was a tax collector. In fact, wrote this very gospel that serves as our text. He had a change of heart. And so did that little man who was up in that sycamore tree. Remember him? Zacchaeus. He invited Jesus to come into his house, served him a meal, and repented of all the things that he had done wrong. Here is a tax collector who changed his mind. And prostitutes, we think especially of Mary Magdalene, who was one of those at the grave of Jesus and to whom Jesus appeared. Here is a prostitute that had a change of heart, just like that first son. They were not spiritually stubborn. On the other hand, are these religious leaders who, even after they saw that there were people like these tax collectors and sinners who were turning from their sin and being baptized, Jesus says, even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. And so what's going to happen? The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Why? Because they did repent and believe. Now, what Jesus says here to the religious leaders is, of course, meant also for us. It's a warning. Beware of spiritual stubbornness. Unfortunately, warnings are often not heeded. We have several examples of that in Scripture. Take, for example, Cain, who killed his brother Abel. Even before he committed that murder, the Lord came to Cain and said to him, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must master it." So Cain is warned by the Lord, "Be careful. You're going to commit a sin." But did he listen? No, he didn't. He killed his brother Abel. The same is true of Peter. Peter, who three times denied his Savior, even before he was guilty of that sin, Jesus said to Peter, "I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Peter had a warning. This is going to happen. Be careful. But he doesn't listen. And so you see how sometimes these warnings that we have, also the warning, beware of spiritual stubbornness, that they're not heeded. And so we need to take this very seriously. There's nothing really so important in our lives than repenting and believing. We may also have been guilty of sins in our past, things that may trouble us. We may be, in some ways, on a wrong path right now. It's time to look over our life, to examine our lives, and where we have gone wrong, to repent and believe. Just like this first son, who so firmly rejected the will of his father, that can happen to us, that we start on a wrong path. But there always is this invitation from our Lord to come back, to repent and to believe truly in his loving forgiveness. Martin Luther was very firm when he appeared before that emperor at Worms. He was stubborn then. But there's another side to Luther, a very different kind of person. We see that in his sermons, we see it in his writings. A person who was not spiritually stubborn, a person who did repent of his sin, a person who did believe the good news of the gospel. And there's no place where we see that side of Luther better than in his prayers. I have a little prayer book called simply Luther's Prayers. There are 232 prayers of Luther in this book. And I'd like to close by reading one of those prayers of Luther, a prayer in which he speaks heart to heart to his Lord. He says, he prays, "Dear God, before you I confess that I am a great sinner. The Ten Commandments would drive me and commit me directly to hell. But your precious gospel teaches me to know and believe that out of love, you have established a kingdom through Jesus Christ. In it, you will be merciful and will help forlorn and condemned sinners. So I say my confession of faith and sin in one word, I am truly a sinner, but God is merciful to me. I am your enemy, but you are my friend. I deserve condemnation, yet I know that you do not want to condemn me. You want me to be blessed and to inherit heaven. This is indeed your will because of your Son, whom you have given for me. Amen. That is Luther, one who took to heart the warning, beware of spiritual stubbornness. May we follow his example. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.